Those of you who were with us last week will remember that we were thinking about the parable that Jesus told concerning the sower who spread good seed on various types of soil and the different results of that sowing. Today we're considering another parable of Jesus about seed, that of the wheat and the weeds, or tares as we sang in the hymn. For both of these parables, we need to remember that the sowing of the word of God, the gospel, the good news, is essential for the kingdom of heaven to fully come. We pray regularly, don't we? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. The proclaiming of the good news of salvation through Jesus is therefore essential. This is just what Jesus is teaching in these parables. So today, we have the sower spreading good seed over his field. However, at night, while everyone is sleeping, an enemy comes and sows weeds amongst the wheat and goes away. This weed has been identified as darnel, which is a grass-like plant that looks just like wheat when it is growing, but it is slightly poisonous. The man's servants ask if they should pull up these weeds, but the owner says that even though an enemy has done this, they should leave the wheat and the weeds growing side by side until harvest time. He does not want the good wheat pulled up with those weeds. When harvest comes, the wheat and the weeds are to be separated. The weeds will be burnt, and the wheat gathered into the farmer's barn. Now, just as he did with the parable of the sower, Jesus gives the disciples an explanation of this parable, the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Jesus clearly identifies himself as the sower of the good seed. He identifies himself with the title, the Son of Man, a title he uses elsewhere in the New Testament. The enemy who sows the seeds is the devil. The field is the world. And Jesus' point is that there was to be no immediate judgment. Premature judgment would endanger the good crop. God's way is to have the gospel preached to an unbelieving world, sowing good seed which produces sons or people of the kingdom. During this time, the enemy will be doing his worst. And this parable is aimed at a specific problem which everyone has faced throughout the centuries. How do we reconcile the continuance of evil and the prospering of Satan's work with the coming of the kingdom? We can have no doubt of the existence of the devil in our world today. Cruelty, deceit, wars, bullying, injustice, untruths, bad things happening to good people, lies, unfaithfulness, abuses, the list is endless. And we are bombarded with such in our written and broadcast media almost daily. The cry goes up, why does God allow this? He allows believers and non-believers to live together in this world for the time being, But at the end, justice will be done. Make no mistake, don't be fooled. In the end, justice will be done. Jesus tells us this very clearly. There will be a harvest at the end of the age when he comes again in glory. He tells us that the Son of Man will send his angels and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. These, we are told, will be thrown into the fiery furnace, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yes, picture language, it may be, but there's no doubt about its meaning. We today must not be lulled into a false sense of security, a sort of coziness. Well, it'll be all right in the end, won't it? We will all be there together in heaven, won't we? This is not what Jesus is teaching. Evil and evildoers will share the same fate, judgment, punishment, exclusion from God's holy presence. Evil will not go unpunished. Now, in between this parable and the explanation of the parable, Matthew records two more short parables, those of the mustard seed and the yeast or leaven. The mustard seed may be a tiny seed, but it grows into a very significant plant. Very small beginnings can result in a powerful conclusion. The yeast, when mixed in with the flour, will have a good effect on the whole loaf, bringing it growth and life. We must not be discouraged by our smallness. We mustn't be discouraged by our weakness, but encouraged to make the gospel known. The word of God works from within, secretly. The kingdom does not come by outward means such as political action. It is the word that works within men and women so that they are born again and begin to live according to God's will. And it is the responsibility of all Jesus' disciples then and now to make the life-giving word known. It's not going to be some instant final success. No sweeping away of wickedness and unbelief. But in spite of its apparent smallness, in spite of its hiddenness, the gospel of truth, the good news of salvation, will do its work. Those two short stories, together with the ending of our current passage on the wheat and the weeds, will serve to give hope and encouragement to all who follow Jesus Christ. Jesus finishes his explanation of the parable with a promise. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. You're going to shine like the sun in the kingdom of your Father. Hold on to that. Let it go deep into your heart and let it energize and encourage you. You are going to shine like the sun in the kingdom of your Father. So I think there are two great lessons of this parable. First, there's a terrible warning for all who do evil, and at the same time, this glorious promise for all who follow God's way. Secondly, the righteous will be vindicated. Until then, our task is to preach the gospel, even if that means suffering, persecution, opposition, ridicule from the ungodly, for they're serving their master, the devil. We should not be discouraged by this. God's purposes are sure. One thing is certain. In this passage, we must not be like the servants who wanted to sort out the weeds immediately. It is not for us to be quick with our judgment. However, judgment will come in the end, but judgment is not hasty. But judgment still comes. Humanly speaking, it may seem that the life of the sinner is escaping judgment in this life, but there is a life to come. It may seem that, humanly speaking, goodness never enters into its reward, but there is a new world to redress the balance of the old. We are certainly taught that the only person with a right to judge is God. Contrary to what we experience in this world, we have the promise that we shall shine like the sun in the Father's kingdom. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen.